to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Lap Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 112 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the professor, Brandon Crowd. Well, we had cars on the track. That we did. Definitely some interesting takeaways from the clash on Sunday. I will get into all of that here in a bit. Hope everyone had a great weekend. Wife and I kept it pretty low-key this weekend since we've got a couple busy weekends ahead. Well, I have a couple busy weekends ahead with our annual Daytona party. Then the following weekend, I am ditching this cold, this snow. It's been ice storming for the last 48 hours. I am out of Metro Detroit. I am flying south to Atlanta to go hang out with PETM and go to the Atlanta races, which is going to be awesome, and I cannot wait for that. So obviously, stay tuned to social media during Atlanta weekend. That's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait. You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of my friends that aren't NASCAR fans, sports radio up here in Detroit, they talk about the time from the Super Bowl through opening day with baseball is kind of being a dead zone of the year. And from a NASCAR perspective, us NASCAR fans, we couldn't disagree anymore with that statement. Now, up here, Michigan, you know, we don't have a lot going on right now with the Pistons and the Red Wings. They are definitely struggles to watch. But man, Big Ten basketball's heating up. March Madness is right around the corner. And most importantly, NASCAR is back. NASCAR fans, we are covered till November, with the exception of a couple off weeks here and there. So that's awesome. Our schedule, February to November. December's the holidays, you know, that's cool. So we're really 60 days if you take out, you know, the holiday season, so to speak, there. A 90-day off season. Not a whole lot to complain about from that regard. So we're good. Man, and Daytona is just mere days away. Cannot wait. Now, the question's going to be, how good will the product be that we're watching? You know, I think we were all pleasantly surprised last year. You know, and what's going to happen this year is yet to be seen. We know what we're going to get on Sunday. The question will be, what do we get with the intermediate tracks? You know, safe to say that's going to be interesting to follow throughout the year. Fortunately, we won't have to wait too long. Atlanta, you know, we'll see what this package is going to unfold like at a mile and a half track and all that good stuff. All right. Well, today's show, it's packed, man. It's the first full show of the year. I'm so excited. From Fox Sports, Caitlin Vinci is going to call in, talk about her new role in the Truck Series, talk a little Daytona. I'll recap the Clash, preview the 500. Social media shout-outs are back. Aaron, of course, is going to be on to talk some weather for the duels and the weekend. Lucky Dog Lap Down Picks. I'm going to say it right now. You guys came strong first week of the year with the Lucky Dog Lap Down Picks. Tons of tweets and quite a few phone calls. I am like so excited about that. Can't wait. And close it out with some fantasy. All right. I think I've rambled on here long enough. What do you say? We get Caitlin Vinci on the line. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, joining me on the line, she will be hosting Fox Sports 1 NASCAR Gander Outdoor Truck Series pre-race show this season, along with her current roles on Race Day and Race Hub, making her a Lap Traffic debut. Caitlin Vinci. Caitlin, welcome to the Lap Traffic Podcast. How are you?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me. I certainly appreciate it very much.
Oh, no, it's definitely my pleasure. So before we get into the NASCAR stuff, it's still kind of technically off season. Did you get to do anything fun during the off season?
You know, this off season was probably the most eventful one I've had because my husband and I took a trip to Thailand, which was an incredible vacation. It really does feel like you're in a whole different world when you go there. 23-hour flight, so it was a very long trip out there. But it was very well worth it. So we did that kind of at the beginning of the off season in December for quite a few days, and just kind of been spending time with my husband and my daughter and relaxing. Other than that, but the off season, it's pretty much over now.
Right. Yeah. I know, right? Like, it's the front stretch. Like, we can see Daytona.
We sure can.
That's great. Like, I don't mind flying. Like, my wife and I, we take a yearly or bi-yearly trip to the Caribbean or Vegas. The Las Vegas flight from Detroit is a bit too long for me. I do not know how I could manage a 23-hour flight. That's intense right there.
Yeah. So interesting. We did fly from Charlotte to Detroit and then Detroit to Korea.
Wow.
Seoul, and then from Seoul to Thailand. So, yeah, it was quite a few different legs of the trip. But, yeah, you can get from Detroit to Korea if you're ever interested.
That's good to know. Good to know. All right. So everyone sees you on TV and all that. But tell everyone a little bit about yourself, your background, school, how you get into racing, broadcasting, all that good stuff.
Yeah, so I originally got into racing on my own. You know, I didn't really have any exposure to it through family or anything like that. I went to my first race when I was in college, so I was a little bit of a late bloomer in that sense.
I was the same way, so I hear you on that one.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter when you find it, as long as you find it at some point, right?
Right.
So I had garage passes to one of the races, and I really just fell in love with it. I mean, it sounds kind of corny, but I really did. And when you can see kind of the inner workings of the sport up close, when you do have, you know, a garage pass, you sort of have a whole new appreciation for it.
Oh, yeah.
You see all the mechanics there working on the car. It's kind of organized chaos. Like, each person has their role and they're executing it. And it's, you know, there's just so much energy and intensity when you're in the garage area. So
don't step over the yellow line. That's what I learned.
True. This is true. Or else you'll get in trouble. But I had always known I wanted to do journalism. I mean, my parents joke that when I was 12 years old, I was filming the news on like a home video camera. So I always had an interest in being on camera from a young age, but I narrowed it down to sports journalism while I was still in high school. And then I narrowed it down even more to motorsports once I was in college. Because after I had that experience at the racetrack, I thought, well, if I could make it as a journalist in this sport, I will feel like I've really accomplished something, because it is a very difficult sport to learn. You know, there's so many complexities to racing. And that's kind of what I set out to do. While I was in college, I wrote a NASCAR column for our school paper. I started interning at a local news station. I did a public relations internship for the former Hooters Pro Cup Series, which was the USAR Pro Cup Series at the time. And then right out of school, I got hired to do some reporting for Langley Speedway. So I did that for 2 years. And while I was doing that, I simultaneously filmed my own report in a spare room of my house with a green screen and a Mac computer.
That's cool.
And I started talking about racing in front of this green screen as a way to get more repetitions on camera talking about NASCAR. And so those ended up getting picked up by NASCAR Illustrated's website at the time, which was scenedaily.com. So then my work was like next to Bob Pockrass's work.
Okay.
So it was really neat. That was a big turning point, I feel like, for me. And I was able to build a really good demo reel from my work at Langley and my own video reports that I eventually sent to Speed Channel. And Speed Channel ended up hiring me, and I started out just doing kind of the reporting day to day at the race shops. And then it grew into the Trackside show, which was part of Speed Channel at the time. And then that eventually grew into doing Pit Road for the Truck Series, and it's just kind of kept going from there. And I'm about to start my eighth year with Fox, which it's hard to believe, but it has gone by pretty fast.
That's awesome. That's a really cool story, just like the transition from, you know, local track to, you know, where you're at now. Yeah. with the new gig. So let's talk about the new gig with the Gander Outdoor Truck Series. Man, it's going to take me a long time because I keep wanting to say Camping World, but
I know.
Gander Outdoor.
It's going to take me a minute too, which I really can't screw that up.
Right. I bet that's frowned upon.
Yes, slightly. So I'm going to be hosting the pre-race show for the Truck Series this year, which is really exciting for me personally, because that series, you know, I've been a part of it for the last 4 years. It was the first series I ever got to do on pit road, one of, you know, NASCAR's top levels. And I just love the trucks. You know, there's so much passion from those competitors in that series, because they're either the old school veteran guys who are always, you know, just
truck guys.
Yeah, truckers going all out, or they're the new young rookies who are trying to prove themselves, make a name for themselves. So I think you just have this really cool mix. It's a very kind of unique dichotomy of competitors, if you will. So I've always enjoyed that aspect of it. I feel like we're never short on storylines. There's just, like I said, there's a lot of heart and passion at that level, because they're still not working with insane budgets, these race teams. So some of the stories that stood out to me last year was like Jordan Anderson, you know, one of the guys who was pretty much doing everything himself, working on the trucks, driving the hauler, you know, to and from the racetracks. And just that's the passion that I love seeing. And it reminds me, obviously, of old school racing days. And you have that in the truck series. So it's been a really fun series to cover over the years. And now to be the face of the pre-race show, it's a huge honor for me to do that. And we have a brand new digital studio that we're utilizing this year that's really fantastic. So it's pretty cool to be some of the first people to use it in that type of a role.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations. I can feel your excitement in that, which is very cool. And, you know, it's funny you mention about the truck series. I've talked about this with other friends and other podcasts out there, in terms of if we're able to convince one of our non-racing fans to watch a race, I'm putting them in front of a truck race first, mm-hmm. because the excitement on track action is incredible. Like you said, you got either your diehards or you got the young guns coming up through the series, which is fun to watch. And I think Jordan Anderson last year, didn't he break down on the side of the road and a fan ended up helping him or something like that? It seems to ring a bell with that.
Just incredible stories like that, though. But he, you know, Jordan Anderson, he never quits. He does whatever it takes to get himself to the racetrack. You know, he had a bunch of fans actually help sponsor one of his trucks.
Yes, I remember that too. Yep.
It's really neat to see all this, you know, the names and stuff on the truck. But yeah, I mean, to your point, the truck races, they're a great length. You know, the length of the race itself, I think, really renders itself for intense competition from the very get-go.
Sure.
You know, it's short stages. And yeah, there's nothing quite like some of the short track racing with trucks.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So talk about how is it going to be difficult managing that, plus the race day gig, race hub and all that, bouncing around from different role to different role? How are you going to keep that all straight?
So I've always kind of bounced around, because I've done truck series pit road in tandem with race day and race hub for quite, I don't know how many years now, I guess 4 years. So I've always sort of done it. It will be a little different in the sense that I won't be traveling quite as much as I've done in the past. But I still will be traveling, so I can have a pulse and a kind of feel in the garage area on the cup side, and obviously going to the race shops during the week so that the crew chiefs still see me, the drivers, things like that. It does take a balance, though. You know, and last year I also had Supercross in the mix, so
that's
I was
right.
even juggling that in addition to all the NASCAR content. So it definitely takes a bit of a balance. But once you kind of get into the routine, it sort of just becomes clockwork to you in terms of the research and things like that. And the truck series schedule, there's some pretty big breaks in there,
yes.
which I don't necessarily right. like. but it does sort of give you a moment to sort of recharge and like focus on the cup series or whatnot for a couple weeks. And
sure.
then the trucks come back. So you sort of, you get into a pattern and a rhythm with it. And, you just sort of get used to it, I guess.
Yeah, no, I from a fan perspective, I hate the West Coast swing. There's like 5 weeks off, basically, for the trucks. I'm like, oh, it breaks my heart.
It's a big break. And yes. There's another big break, like, in the playoffs, which is so bizarre to me.
Right.
And I can imagine it's tricky for the competitors. But maybe someday we'll see some changes made to that schedule.
I'd be all right with that. All right. So I got to ask you this, because when I pulled up your bio and I read this, I'm like, this just has to have a cool backstory to it. So your bio says that you like to hang out in Nashville and do a little singing with Bobby McClendon, who I had not heard of. So I went and YouTube some of his music, and his song Dive Bar is awesome. Like, I downloaded it. So tell me about that, because that's cool. I wasn't expecting to see that.
So one of my good female friends from where I went to school in the Hampton Roads area is her significant other is Bobby McClendon.
Okay.
And they've been together for years. And I just, you know, obviously I met him on one of my trips to Nashville and went and saw him sing. And I told Megan, is her name, I said, I was like, I really love singing. You know, I had auditioned for a show on CMT back when I was 20 years old in Nashville.
Oh, that's awesome.
Show. I didn't make it, which I don't know if that says that I have zero talent, or if it was just one of those typical, like, American Idol style shows where they already sort of have people pre-selected that's going to make the show. But anyway, so I told her how much I enjoyed singing. I was like, I'd love to just get up on stage one night and sing some songs with him. So that's kind of how it started. And there was an off season where I did travel around with them quite a bit to Wisconsin, like Chicago, I think, Virginia Beach, obviously multiple shows, Nashville and Broadway Street. And we'd just get on stage and sing with them. You know, usually it was a Miranda Lambert, Gunpowder and Lead was
kind of
my go-to. But my husband bought me this super tricked out, like, badass karaoke machine for Christmas. And I sing on that thing, I kid you not, all the time.
Oh,
like,
that's great.
I love this thing. And so I really want to, like, get into it more. You know, it's just a matter of finding time to go to Nashville right now. Now that I'm a mom and things like that.
Sure.
A little bit different,
right?
But there are a lot of bars and places along the NASCAR circuit that have karaoke, so maybe at one point this year I'll just go sing some karaoke while I'm out at a race.
Well, I tell you what, I am no stranger to a karaoke, so if you are at MIS in June, we will go karaoke.
That sounds good. I will hold you to that.
You could definitely hold me to that.
Perfect.
All right. So I'll get you out of here in a minute. I just want to get a couple more questions with you. So there's going to be some early stories, in my opinion, from a Cup perspective, especially with the new rules package and all of that. There's driver changes, obviously. What are some of the early stories that have you intrigued and something that you're definitely going to be keeping an eye on?
So I'll definitely keep an eye on Ford, obviously, with the new car that they're introducing for this year with the Ford Mustang. I would like to see if they can continue all the momentum they had in 2018, because what an incredible year it was for that manufacturer.
Sure.
Obviously, what we saw happen at Stewart Haas Racing and Joey Logano winning the championship. It was a banner year for that manufacturer. So I'd like to see, you know, if they miss a beat or not with the new car, if they are able to just kind of carry all that success they had last year and have it once again right out of the gate. Obviously, Kevin Harvick really comes to mind. I was listening to him speak at some of the production media days this week in Charlotte, and he seems his normal self, just completely calm, relaxed, super confident. I don't think I've ever seen him not that way, but I just think what he was able to do last year was pretty extraordinary.
Yep.
So that's one of the stories I'm going to be watching. Obviously, too, I think one of the ones is the separation of Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus.
Sure.
And now Chad being paired with William Byron and Jimmy Johnson being paired with Mendering. I want to see how those relationships pan out and who can win first without the other.
They definitely have a side bet between the two of them that we'll probably never know about, but you just got to think they've got one.
For sure. So I'm curious about that. Obviously, too, Martin Truex Jr. going over to Joe Gibbs Racing, I think, is a big story. You know, Furniture Racing closing down last year was an unfortunate story.
Yep.
But I'll be curious to see if he can sort of, what he can do over that organization of having him there helps elevate the program. And I know, you know, guys like Kyle Busch and Denny, I think they're really looking forward to having him as an official teammate.
Yeah.
So that's another one I'll be keeping my eye on. And then William Byron also is one of my stories. Just now that he had Rookie of the Year honors under his belt, second year in the Cup cars, I watched him from trucks through Xfinity. He is one of those people who learns race vehicles very quickly. He seems to get acclimated to different types of tracks pretty quickly. I think we didn't even see what he can do at all last season. So I'll be really interested to see what he can do in year two in the Cup cars. And once again, with the guidance of Chad Knaus, that's one I'm going to be keeping an eye on as well.
That. And what about over in the truck series? Big move kind of caught me off guard with Sauter out and Brett Moffitt going over to GMS.
I know. Yeah, I think that did catch quite a few people by surprise. So I had the opportunity to do a sit-down interview with Brett Moffitt over at GMS earlier this week that's going to air on the Daytona pre-race show.
Cool.
And we talked a little bit about that, you know, and for him, he said he was honestly very surprised. but he said, honestly, though, at this point, with what I see in racing, he's like, maybe I shouldn't have been. You know, it's kind of, unfortunately, a sign of the times. Things like that can happen very unexpectedly. I mean, we talked briefly about what happened with Furniture Racing. You know, different deal, but it's all sort of under that similar umbrella, I guess, if you will, of a team that won a championship. Then the next year, they're on the outside looking in because they don't have sponsorship. So
yep.
He obviously seems very optimistic and confident about going to GMS. That's an organization that's had proven success in the truck series. I'm sure he's going to fit in there very well. He told me he'd already been going to the shop quite a few times to just kind of get used to the guys and get used to the place. And so I imagine he'll emerge once again as a really strong contender right out of the gate for race wins and be in the hunt for the title. Stuart Friesen is another one that, you know, we talked about a little bit, our trucks team, that we are hoping this could be a breakout year for him because he came so close to getting wins last year. I think he had three or four runner-up finishes, just could not seal the deal.
Yep.
But, you know, he has that technical alliance with GMS, Hallmar Friesen. So I would imagine that he'll be in a good position to get his first career truck series win. And then also the KBM, Kyle Busch Motorsports teammates, Todd Gilliland and Harrison Burton, I think the two of them will be stories all throughout the year. Harrison Burton was very impressive in the starts that he had last year, and he's only going to continue, I think, to grow. And now he's going to be running full time. Every single race will be in a truck. And for Todd, I felt like 2018 was one of those seasons of ups and downs and kind of heartbreaks. You know, Canada finish comes to mind, as well as Texas. You know, so what did he learn from that season that's just going to help him be one step ahead for 2019? So those are some of the drivers in the truck series that kind of come to mind initially before we even get going.
Absolutely right. Yeah, I know. It's all going to unfold.
It will.
Caitlin, tell everyone where they can follow you at on social media.
Sure. They can just follow me at Caitlin Vinci, my name, on Twitter. And I also do quite a few posts on Instagram, which is at Caitlin_Vinci. So that's pretty much where you can find me. I have a website and there's a contact form on there. If you ever want to send me anything, I do my best to respond to everybody.
It's awesome. All right, Lap Traffic Nation. Big thanks to Caitlin Vinci for calling into the show. Make sure you're watching the Gander Outdoor Pre-Race Show, Race Day, Race Hub, and make sure you tune in to all the races this weekend on Fox. Caitlin, thank you so much. And maybe we'll see you at Michigan.
Yeah, sounds good. We got that karaoke song.
Absolutely. Thanks so much. Well, Lap Traffic Nation, that was definitely a fun interview there with Caitlin. It's awesome. Fox and her, we were able to set that up. A lot of fun talking to these guys. Make sure you're checking out Caitlin on social media, Race Hub, Truck Series, all that good stuff. And who knows? Maybe there is some karaoke in our future in a few months at MIS. And who knows? Maybe we'll even bump into each other at Atlanta. Well, not a whole lot to talk about from a Gander Outdoor Truck Series perspective or a Xfinity Series perspective. But fear not, next week I'll be talking all three series. Cannot wait for that. Can't wait to talk some trucks and Xfinity. I know you guys like that. That was definitely some comments that I received on the poll at the end of the year from last year that you guys like the truck series and the Xfinity series talk. So that's not going anywhere. That will be back next week. Trucks, Friday night racing at Daytona, 7:30. Can't wait for that. And then the Xfinity series kicks off on Saturday, 2:30 start there. All right. Let's talk about this clash. There was a lot of talk on social media. What are the positives that we could take away from this clash? Well, first off, I had a great time doing the first live tweet of the season with Sherwin from PETM. Some great interaction with you guys, got some new followers. So all that was awesome. That was a positive interaction that I was able to take away. Now, for the race, man, 75 lap race. We saw 59 laps, stopped twice by rain. I'm not gonna lie, it was a little hard to watch that. It was a struggle. Thankfully, there was social media to occupy some dead time there, if you will. You know, after the restarts, single file was the name of the game, and if you could not get to the high side, you were done. Inside lane, it just could not get going. Every once in a while, you'd have a few guys try to make it work, and they just couldn't get it done. And, you know, the finish, Jimmy, he said himself, he knew the rain was coming. And funny, I had a sense the big one was coming. I sent out a tweet with a shark fin saying, I think the big one's coming. And literally a lap later, boom, got it. You know, I think we are in for much of the same style of racing for the 500 on Sunday. Might see a little bit more double file and some three wide towards the end of the stages with guys trying to at least battle for a playoff point and some stage points. But man, midway through each stage, I see much of the same style of racing like we had this past weekend. You know, and that's pretty typical for the speedways, super speedways as of late. You know, the big question, like I said at the top of the show, will be what will we get at Atlanta? The other mile and a half, mile tracks, you know, that's where it's going to be interesting. You know, one big topic obviously brought up after the race was, did Jimmy go below the yellow line? Yeah, he did, but he was forced down after contact with Menard. Now, question is, now, was that contact with Menard necessary? Well, or was it a little aggressive? Perhaps it was, but again, that's just the style of plate racing. You know, that's what you're going to get. If someone gets someone loose and they spin up the track, it's going to collect the field, and when you have a shorter field, that's why three cars are, you know, only had three cars not involved in the wreck in some capacity. You know, it would have definitely been interesting had they been able to get that started back up. Curious to see what cars would have been able to limp back out onto the track to see where they could have finished. You know, there were 16 laps to go. Some of these guys might have been able to get it around there for a few more laps. You know, we might have had another wreck, too. So it would have been interesting if we could have played this one out. Unfortunately, Mother Nature was not on our side. It's hard to look at the finish, the finishing results as an indicator of how everyone ran since there were all but three cars involved, like I said. The Fords, they look fast. Chevy looked to have picked up a little bit of speed from last year. But again, you know, it was with half a field. It'll be curious to see what everyone's got on Sunday. You know, it's funny. I think I talked about this with MOATF and PETM when we did our collab show a couple weeks ago. About, I bet Chad and Jimmy have a bet for who gets to victory lane first. And wouldn't you know it, the clash that happens. But I have to say, if those two do, which I'm sure they do, how could they not have a friendly wager on who gets to victory lane first? Neither one of them would say that this counted. It's definitely got to be a points race for someone to have to ante up on that. So I am still curious to see who gets to victory lane first, Chad or Jimmy, with an actual points race. All right. I think that's enough on that. There's no need to dwell any more on that race from Sunday. That said, this Sunday, 2:30, the 61st running of the Daytona 500. A little interesting note. Of the active drivers in the field, there are only 8 Daytona winners who will be on the track this Sunday. Jimmy Johnson, Kevin Harvick, Ryan Newman, Jamie McMurray, Joey Logano, Denny Hamlin, Kyle Busch, and Austin Dillon. And of those 8, only Jimmy Johnson has 2 500 victories. Only 3 times has someone won back-to-back 500s. Petty in 73, 74, Yarbrough in 83 and 84, and the most recent being Sterling Marlin in 94 and 95. Curious. Does Austin Dillon go back-to-back? I don't think so, but we will see how it will all play out this Sunday. And like I mentioned, next week, going to highlight all 3 series and what's going down there. Cannot wait. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, it is time for a little social media. Everyone, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. I redid it in the off season. Go check it out. Check it out on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Of course, like on Twitter, at Lap Traffic PC. And on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm giving that a whirl. I've been doing some updates on there for the last week or so. So I wanted to do that before I said anything. So I'm going to try to keep up with Instagram a little bit. So go check it out on Instagram as well. Make sure you subscribe and download the show on iTunes, Podbean, Spreaker, Stitcher, Google Play. You name it, you should be able to find it. And don't forget about the giveaway. 3,500 followers giving away the signed 124 diecast by Richard Childress to commemorate the RCR Museum. Throwing in a Lap Traffic t-shirt as well. So make sure you go tell your friends about that. Thank you to everyone that's retweeted that. Much appreciated. All right. New follower shout-outs are back. Ryan Mueller at Ryan D. Mueller from MIS. Thank you for the follow. Appreciate it. Rochelle Boykin at R.O. Boykin. Big fan of the 88. Pete Curvin at Pete Curvin from Hamburg, New York, and a new fantasy player. NASCAR88YT at YT NASCAR from New Brunswick, also an 88 fan. Stephanie at GMFB underscore Stephanie, lover of all things football. And Green Flag at the underscore Green Flag from theflagstand.com. Guys, thanks for the follow. Hope you like the show. Make sure you tell your friends about it. Don't forget, on the website, you can get a t-shirt $15 if you want with some very cool new logos that are on there as well. Stickers and koozies. If you want some, I will send them to you for free. I sent one out today. And when you get it, make sure you tag the Lap Traffic Podcast on Twitter and I will throw that up on the website. All right. Business is taken care of. Let's keep rolling with the show. It is time for Mr. Aaron Studwell. Lap Traffic Nation back again for his weekly weather report. You can follow him on Twitter at RaceWeather and on the web, raceweather.net. The wonderful Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I am great. Great. All right. We got to get right into it. We got a lot to talk about. Before we get into race weather, how about that Michigan win over Wisconsin, moved up in the rankings to 6? And we got a couple good ones coming up this week. Penn State tonight, Maryland on Saturday.
Yeah, I know. I kept waiting, and maybe this is me being a little cynical. I kept waiting for them to give it up. I kept waiting for them to kind of slow up. But maybe being at home is a big difference for them because, you know, the 2 losses are road losses. Maybe they play a little bit better at home.
Well, you know, I think they wanted to give it up. I don't think Wisconsin wanted it bad enough, it looked like. But, you know, I've said this, like, some of the games that Michigan has struggled with sound like a broken record here. When they drive the lane, man, they are so much better. It opens up the 3-point shot. Matthews has a better time. Poole has a better time. Simpson has a better time. Like, when they drive the lane and get momentum going there, everything else just falls into play. Even if they're not scoring when they drive the lane, as long as they're getting fouled and driving the lane. But when they like to dance around up top, man, that's when they just don't look good.
Yeah, it's Michigan basketball of 2-3 years ago, and that kind of counterpoint you're making is it's live by the three, die by the three. Yep. And that's what happened against Iowa, and it happened against Wisconsin first game.
Yep.
This game, like you said, they could drive the lane, make them collapse in. You're not going to be able to sit outside and hang and play defense on the 3-point line if I've got of an inside presence. And, you know, like, yeah, that part of the game is back. And that's really, I think it says a lot about Beilein's coaching and his ability to understand and teach. I mean, we, and everybody regresses, and both of us as students, we know that as well. Yes. We regress occasionally, but he's going to go out and teach. And I think he's just one of the reasons he's a Hall of Fame coach in my mind.
Absolutely. Well, and you know, they got some time still. I think they got, what, maybe 8 games left in the regular season?
I looked at this. We have 7 away.
7.
Sorry. 7 total. 4 away.
Okay.
3 at home.
All right.
We have 4 against ranked opponents.
Yes. 2 of which are Michigan State.
And 2 of which are Maryland.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
may drop out of the rankings tonight.
Yes.
With home game versus Wisconsin, I believe. No, Purdue.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes. All right. So, well, tonight, Penn State at Happy Nappy Valley. I always want to say Happy
Snowy. It's Happy Valley, but yeah. I saw some pictures earlier. It's Snowy Valley.
It's Snowy Valley. Yes, it's definitely. And up here too, man. If you could do something about these ice storms, that'd be great.
That's just brutal. Oh my God, how brutal you guys have. It's like, okay, winter weather advisory. Yeah, you're under an inch of ice.
Yes, so
it's not a winter storm, but
legit.
Yeah, it is legit.
Like, I think, I mean, we're just into February. I think schools have closed in Metro Detroit like 7 or 8 days. They're definitely going to be making up days come June. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, that'll be bad for the tourism industry and also bad for the students, one might say.
Absolutely. All right, man. Let's talk to Clash this weekend. A couple rain events moved in.
Yes, and we had called that. We said we were going to be kind of monitoring the situation during the Advance Auto Parts crash. And they were just racing the rain. I think they're racing the rain and racing one another. There was, what, 18 to go when that happened?
Yes. Yep.
And, yeah, I think we're watching the radar and watching the situation. And, yeah, Johnson got aggressive. That side draft took it off the back of Menard and drew Menard around and drew Johnson up into him, and it was an aggressive racing thing. I do put it mostly at Johnson's doorstep, but there was a lot of arrow playing into that, and they wanted to win. Yeah. I mean, that's what it took. I mean, they're racing. They knew they were probably going to end it.
Yeah, it is. You know, what happened was just a product of plate racing, and it's unfortunate. It's a bummer that had the rain came a lap before, we wouldn't have tore up 17 race cars. But, you know, that,
wow.
Like I said, that is just what we're we can talk about it, the gimmick race of plate racing and all that, or, you know, the tapered space or whatever we want to call it now. It's just a product of that style. And it's, you know, we got to deal with it. Well, up until this year, 4 times a year, who knows what we'll get, you know, with the rest of the season. But we shall see. All right. The duels on Thursday. And then we got racing Friday. Saturday. We got 4 days full of racing. What's the weather looking like?
I'm going to go in order with the wonderfully sunny, therefore clear skies for the Gander duels on Thursday. High of 68, race time low to mid 60s, clear skies. So we are looking good for the duels. I will be home from work. I'll be plopped down in front of my television.
Excellent.
And tuned in. Friday, we go to the truck race that night. High of 72, mostly sunny skies, therefore mostly clear at night. Morning low 55. Saturday, we go to the Xfinity race, partly cloudy skies. I am putting a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms in. This high is going to go to 77, mostly because a warm front's going to lift across the area. And with that, it's going to start decaying a little bit just north of there. So I'm putting in a slight chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. It'll be worth watching, but I'm not pessimistic about the racing. I am optimistic. I'll go that way instead of the double negative. but that's another situation where I'll be monitoring the situation and keeping Twitter and the Facebook update as well as the webpage.
Excellent.
And
then the 61st running of the Daytona 500. How are we looking?
We are looking darned great.
Excellent.
High of 79, morning low 64, partly cloudy skies. The winds will pick up in the afternoon. And it's a little bit more than normally you'd see a sea breeze, and that'd be headwind coming out of two. But with the bigger pattern overlaid on top, we're going to see southwesterly winds, 12 to 18 miles an hour. That is a tailwind coming out of two and a headwind coming into four. So if these cars are on edge, which they will tend to be,
right,
we may see a lot of incidents coming out of four with people being wobbly, and maybe even that late run for the checkered flag coming out of four, and then ones being a crosswind coming into the front straight. It could be fun. It could be very interesting. And
so you're predicting you're predicting big ones, plural.
I am predicting big ones. Maybe even a last lap pass at the expense of somebody else.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised. I would not be surprised.
It wouldn't be the first time either.
Nope. Just to prepare you, I'm going to need you to have it all dialed in for next week, because I will be at Atlanta. So I need good weather for the Atlanta weekend. So.
Oh, wait a minute. Is PETM going to be there?
Absolutely. So I'm hoping I can be their good luck charm, hopefully.
And I will throw this out here now. I'm writing Patreon this weekend for Atlanta.
Excellent.
It will be taken care of. We will have an early forecast available to our Patreon subscribers on Sunday, and watch Twitter for that.
Excellent.
And buddy, I'll take care of you.
Excellent. Appreciate you. All right, everyone, make sure you're checking out Aaron on Twitter at RaceWeather. Follow him on the web, raceweather.net, and go blue.
Go blue.
Talk to you later, man.
Have a great night.
See ya. Always great to catch up with Mr. Aaron Studwell. If you are new to the show, you can expect that segment each and every week. It's pretty cool. If you're going to the race, it's helpful. And if you're just planning on sitting in the couch and watching the race, it's cool to know what we can expect weather-wise. Nice to have him on the show. A little Michigan talk. That's definitely going to happen there. So if you're a Spartan, non-Big Ten fan or whatever, you might want to fast forward through the first 5 minutes of the weather segment or so. But always a great time talking with Aaron and catching up with him. Dogs barking? That can only mean one thing. Yes, it is some new intro music for everyone's favorite segment of the week. It is the lucky dog segment. Oh, man, I'm so glad I got this ready for this week, because you guys set the bar so high this week on Twitter. Knocked it out of the park for a non-points race with lucky dog lap down responses and got voicemails. So I am so excited to get rolling with the Lucky Dog segment of the week. All right. If you're new to the show, this is where you guys get to be a part of the show. After the checkered flag drops each week, you can send me on Twitter your lucky dog and lap down picks. Who did awesome? Who or what didn't do so great? And I will read them. I will tag you in the show. And you can also leave them, if you so choose, on the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. I also send a bunch of tweets out looking for them after the race. So make sure you are staying tuned to that. I'm going to get right into it. My lucky dog of the race weekend is us, the fans. NASCAR is back till November. I'm excited about that. All right, my lap down of the weekend, the race itself, and the racing was blah. Huge wreck, ended early due to rain. I mean, there's not a whole lot to really have gotten too excited about from that. So that is my lap down. Over to your tweeted responses. Kenny at STL Cards Rule 4 EV. Lucky dog, Daniel Suarez looked good in the 41. I think he'll break through this season. Lap down for Kenny is the 48. Way to take out 17 cars at once to get a 9 points win. My buddy Brad at BYunker30s, a lap down. Definitely going to be all the whiners and criers on social media today. Oh, wait, that's every day in the NASCAR world. Brandon at Brandon K. Carl's lucky dog. Apparently me, because Brandon was at the PBA Tournament of Champions, missed the whole race, but was able to keep up with lap traffic and PETM during the live tweet. That's awesome. We love that. Lap down the whole race. It was a whole damn farce. Can't disagree with you there. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR Fans lucky dog is the 48. He's tired of losing, and his give-a-shit factor is gone. It's bad news for the other teams. Lap down. Us, the fans, the single-file crap in a race that's supposed to be wild is bad. I don't know why it's come to this. Maybe it's the height rule. Something different. Love it, Jesse. The Artful Roger at R-O-J-O-D-I's. Lucky Dog, the STEM people back at the Hendrick Engine Department. Lap down. NASCAR's wisdom of this arrow leading to training. David at David or at DFlint14's. A Lucky Dog. Penske for grabbing the smallest insurance bill of the owners with the cars in the clash. I love that. That is funny. Lap down. The plate package that produces single file trains like we saw. My buddy Mick at GoDucks42_Mix. Lucky Dog William Byron grabbing the pole for the 500. Lap down is the 48 with his Shaggy impersonation. It wasn't me. I love it. Scott at 1985 Wagner's Lucky Dog goes to the 48. Lap down, 14-way tie. You guess which 14. Love it. Eddie at EG3_FastEddie's Lucky Dog Burton joins his dad as a winner at the Daytona track. I love it. Lap down, 48. Clearly contact connected with the 21 who was leading the race, and then bam, the big one literally ended a non-competitive race. And John at D-Nader's Lucky Dog Willie Babyface Blondie getting the pole with Knaus. Lap down is the dang weather. Oh, love it, guys. That's huge. Love the responses. Can't wait to see what you guys come up with for the 500. All right, it is time to crank up the Wave Around hotline messages and see what we got there.
Hey, Brandon, it's Kathleen. Ooh-wee, it feels good to be back. I was very disappointed in the class. I'm sure a lot of people were as well from my Twitter timeline, unless you were a Jimmy Johnson fan, that is. You had mentioned on last week's episode that you were good with doing away with the non-points events, and I think I agree with you on the clash. I don't really know that it's even relevant anymore. As far as the All-Star race, I'd still like to keep that because there is something to be gained on that. But for the clash, I'm not sure what the point of it is anymore. Which brings me to my lap down, which the whole event of the clash is getting my lap down pick. There was nothing going on until Jimmy Johnson happened. I don't think he wrecked Paul Menard on purpose. I think it was just a very big mistake. And unfortunately, a whole mess of cars got demolished in that. And thankfully, Mother Nature came in with the rain and, you know, ended our misery with that whole debacle. My lucky dog is going to go to Harrison Burton winning the ARCA race. It seems like nothing but good things are going to happen for that kid, and I couldn't be happier for him and, you know, those parents of his that he has that are just so involved with what's going on with him, which is great to see. And I'm wondering if he can snag another one on Friday. I don't see why not. We'll have to see. Out of the next weekend's race, I'm almost thinking that the truck race is the one I'm really, really looking forward to the most. Anywho, like I said, it's great to be back, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, thank you so much. First caller of the season on the Lucky Dog Lap Down segment on the Wave Around Hotline. That's awesome. You know, and I'm with you. You know, we want to keep the All-Star race. I'm okay with that. The Clash, like you said, you know, it's kind of lost its luster. It seems like they're trying to create ways just to at least get half a field out there. You know, I get, hey, ticket sales, everyone's already there. You know, so if people want to pay a little extra to come to that race, it probably helps out the track more than it does anybody else. You know, so from that regard, I get why they have it, but I'm with you. Like, it's really not serving that much there. All right, let's get to the next call on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, everybody. Jeff Legg here, Grey Wolf Pack 5 on Twitter and Instagram. So, first race of the year, the Clash. I hear some rumors that they're going to rename it for next year, though. They're just going to call it the Crash. That way it more closely aligns what this race was, where they drove around single file for 60 laps, and then they have a big giant crash, and whoever's left wins. So I think that's what's going to happen for next year. Lucky Dog, Alec Bowman, followed closely by Chase Elliott. Somehow those guys managed to make it from the back of the field through all that mess with, you know, just some minimal damage. Cars that probably could have, you know, kept on driving for longer, and I don't know how they managed to do that because that was a cluster, you know what. Lap down at the Clash. This was not what I expected. I love Daytona. I love the drafting racing. But with 20 cars, I don't think that's really what this track needs. Throw another 20 cars in there. Now you got two lanes and you got racing and you got lines that are fighting with each other and people getting dumped in the middle. And, you know, you got some action and you got some fun. But with 20 cars, they drove around for single file, looked like a practice rather than a race. And then they just had the big crash at the end. So, wasn't a big fan of this year's race. And, here's some of the drivers are thinking that, maybe this has run its course and we need to end this, and maybe they're right, or change it into something else. I don't know. But that's about it for me. Looking forward to a great year of racing. Really excited again for this year, and we'll see how everything goes. Go Harvick.
Jeff, man, thank you for calling first night of the lap traffic wave around hotline for the season. Appreciate that. I'm with you, man. You know, if we had a little bit fuller field, then maybe it would force something other than single file, just logging laps around the track. It's basically what that was there, in my opinion. So, and then, like you said, then we wrecked them and sent everybody home. Lap Traffic Nation seems to be in agreement for sure. All right, we got one more message on the hotline. You know who it is. He solidified himself as the closer. He's not going to like that nickname, but the closer to close out the Lucky Dog segment.
Brandon, my friend, what's up? Back for 2019 on the hotline. The Clash the Clash sucked. I want to say it could be the worst race of the year, but then I forgot we're running a restrictor plate race at, half the races this year. So that's, to be determined. I got to put the whole race a lap down because the whole race actually sucked and there's probably no one good thing about it. One takeaway I had is I really believe that Paul Menard is going to be really strong on restrictor plates this year. Doesn't really get himself into trouble that often unless he's around the 48. But, he's in the Ford. He's got Joey Meyer as a spotter. That's a combination to look out for, I think, on, Daytona and Talladega. Now that, they're not really restrictor plates anymore. I behaved myself for the most part this weekend. Thursday was hit a ditch, and there might or might not be some, interesting pictures going around about me, but, that's okay. So, that's being a college kid in 2019, I would imagine. So that could be a lucky dog, too, if we want to get a bonus lucky dog. All right, buddy, I'll talk to you next week, and hopefully the 500 doesn't suck like that.
Mr. Andrew Cantian, thank you for closing out the Lucky Dog segment this week. Again, sentiments. Clash was not popular, and like you said, hopefully the 500 is a little bit better in terms of the racing quality out there. And who knows, maybe a bold-ass prediction by Andrew there that Paul Menard might make a little bit of noise this year. Who knows? We will see. All right, one more thing before I get over to the fantasy portion of the show is this year I am going to keep track of the Lucky Dogs and Lap Downs and kind of give them some general categories, if you will, keep track of if a specific driver gets the lucky dog lap down, if the race, the weather, whatever it may be. And I think that might be fun at the end of the year to see what the maybe top 10s are for lucky dogs and lap downs. So right now, the leader of the lucky dog tally is Bowman in the 88 with 3 and Harrison Burton with 2. Lap down, the race is dominating the lead there with 5, and the 48 is in got three votes. So it's kind of cool to see the different perspective that all you guys have. Jimmy Johnson got two lucky dog votes and three lap down votes. So that's always cool to see everyone's different opinion on the same thing that we're all watching, which is really cool there. All right. It is time to move over to the fantasy segment. It's go time. It is go time. Reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. There's been so much Twitter interaction. Everyone's already tweeting their picks out. I love that. That's fantastic. We've got close to 50 people signed up. I'm sure we'll get a few more between now and Sunday. So there is still time to register. Go to the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Click on the fantasy link. The rules and how to register are there. New this year, you have to qualify for the playoff round, which will follow the playoff races, and only the top 16 cumulative from each of the two stages will make it. There'll be individual prizes. There's some hardware. There's some trophies that might get sent out. Not might, they will. Mick Rose is helping me out again this year, which is awesome. Huge thanks to Mick. I'll send out a reminder tomorrow with all of the rules and all that, and then Mick will send out a weekly reminder on Wednesdays. So we got 14 races in segment one, which includes Daytona through the 600 and an all-star bonus in there just to keep things interesting during the all-star race. So since there's not any fantasy to recap this week, it's just time to get to the picks. And don't forget, if you are leading stage one, or when we get to stage two, if you are the leader, you can, if you so choose, call into the show and make your picks for that week. So we could have someone new each week. We could have someone on for a few weeks. That all depends on you guys. That said, Lap Traffic Nation, to kick off the picks for the 2019 season is the defending Lap Traffic Fantasy player from last year, Chloe Yunker. Chloe, what's going on?
Well, as we spoke previously, there's trees falling on my house and I have no power.
That's a bummer. I know the pain. You know, we're only about an hour apart, so we got the same ice storm, but it sounds like you guys got it maybe a little bit worse since you guys lost power. But I definitely feel for you. It took me like 20 minutes to just barely be able to get into my truck this morning. So I worked from home, but... So I assume no classes, all that good stuff was canceled, but it's...
No classes.
No classes, yes. Man, that's about... And you said what, the 15th is when they're expecting it to come back on?
Yeah, I mean, fingers crossed it'll be sooner, but that's their estimated time.
That's horrible. That's horrible. yes, fingers crossed for you. So Chloe, along with Brad at Yunkers Motorsports, have a lot of things going on for 2019. And I'm just going to let that sit as a teaser for now, because I think in the near future, you guys will be on to talk about that down the road.
I don't even know if I know what it is.
That's funny. So that said, we'll leave that at that. So Chloe, congrats on the championship last year. Are you ready to defend the crown this year?
I don't know. I feel like I have a target on my back now.
Oh, there. Listen, there has been some talk amongst some players. maybe across the pond that think you're too into hockey and will not be focused for the Lap Traffic Fantasy League this year.
I mean, I'm going to take that as a challenge, but they're not wrong.
That's funny. That is funny. Well, that's it. Chloe, is there anything you want to say to all of the fantasy players out there to kick off the season?
Don't underestimate me.
Oh,
you never know.
Look at that. Chloe's coming out strong. I like that. All right, Chloe, are you ready to get to the picks?
We'll see. Daytona is always a tough one.
All right, let's get to the picks. We are headed to Daytona for the first race weekend in 2019 in the 61st running of the Daytona 500. We're picking for all three series this weekend. Last year in the truck saw Johnny Sauter pick up his third truck win over Daytona weekend. The 2018 Xfinity Series champion picked up his first win at Daytona in the Xfinity Series. And Austin Dillon picked up the win, which was RCR's first Daytona 500 win since Kevin Harvick did it back in 2007. Last year's 500 finish was exciting for sure. We had overtime. We saw Bubba Wallace pick up his career best finish a second. Chris Buescher finished fifth last year. We had a last lap incident that involved 12 cars. I said early on we will have a first-time winner for the 500. Let's get to the picks. Over to the Truck Series. Chloe, who do you have?
I went with Brett Moffitt.
Ooh.
It's hard to say why, because it's Daytona. I feel like with Daytona, you kind of pick random, which is a really bad way to go with it, but...
Hey, I'm with you. Brett Moffitt is also my pick for the Truck Series. I'm riding the lap traffic alum and the truck champion from last year. Chloe, we're going over to the Xfinity Series. Chloe, who do you got?
I'm going to go with a pretty big name. I'm going to say Christopher Bell. I want him to win it because of the Chili Bowl.
I love that pick. I am going with Cole Custer in the Xfinity Series. All right. It's time for the Daytona 500 pick. Chloe, who is winning the 500?
I went with we're both defending champions.
Oh, wow.
I picked Joey Logano.
I like that. I think if anybody knows you, they know that was the pick you were going with. Chloe, I'm going off the board maybe a little bit here. I am going with Clint Bowyer to pick up his first 500 win. That's awesome.
He was in my top three, though.
I love it. All right. Those are our picks. Can't wait to see who you guys take. Chloe, thank you so much for calling in. And who knows? Maybe we'll be talking to you next week, too.
Maybe. Okay.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation. That is going to do it for episode 112 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter at LapTrafficPC, Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Subscribe, download on iTunes, Podbean, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Don't forget about the contest giveaway at 3,500 followers. Huge thanks to Caitlin Vinci from Fox for calling into the show. Big thanks to Aaron Studwell, as always, for the weather report. And thanks to Chloe Yunker for calling in and giving her fantasy picks. I'm working on someone for next week. Might be a little tough with it being Daytona weekend. We shall see. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya.